Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepeakcalendarshow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Let me see here. I'm always torn. I don't want to go into this in depth because we already did it yesterday in the third hour, which was Yuri Berliner, the NPR editor. We did it in the third hour, and I did it a couple days ago. Anyway, there's an update to this story, which is he quit. He resigned from NPR. Let me see here. Here's his statement. I am resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I have worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. Well, that's a shame. Anyway, I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. But I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my free press essay. He wrote for an online publication called The Free Press, which was started up by Barry Weiss. She was formerly of the New York Times editorial staff, and she was forced out as well, although they made it so unbearable, I think she may have resigned. I don't think she got fired, but she then went and created this sort of haven for disaffected liberal journalists and commentators who have recognized that their newsrooms have become illiberal. They've become too far left that they're like to the exclusion of all other thoughts and philosophies. And that's what Yuri Berliner was writing about at his Free Press piece or in his Free Press piece. And then, of course, he gets suspended last Friday. Comments are made about him. Steve Inskeep, who's a host over at NPR, does essentially a hit piece on Yuri, acting as sort of the house organ for the NPR management. We went over the tweets, the hilarious tweets from this new CEO, Catherine Marr is her name. And I mean, like, I'm not sure you could have created a better cartoonish progressive figure than Marr. Tweets going back to 2018, they channel every silly wokeism that has come down the pike. She has adopted it, regurgitated it. She's just awful. And by awful, I mean AWFL, affluent white female liberal. She's an awful. And she pays lip service and tribute to all of the sacred incantations of the Church of Wokeism. So Berliner quit. He has resigned. He published this piece on at the Free Press on April 9th, in which he detailed the, quote, absence of viewpoint diversity in NPR's newsroom. Remember the number 87-0? That was the number of registered Democrats to Republicans in the NPR D.C. office, which, like, the first thing I thought when I saw that, I was like, holy crap, you got 87 people in one place? Like, that's insane. This public broadcaster gets taxpayer funding. Now, I know that they say it's only 1% or 3% or whatever, but they are never counting the pass-throughs from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB, which they get money from that as well. And when you add that money in, now you're into double digits. The point is they shouldn't get any money. There shouldn't be any money coming from taxpayers to fund this operation. And while you may have been able to make an argument 30 years ago when I was a kid growing up listening to NPR and Small Things Considered and Kids America, and click and clack. You cannot anymore. If you have listened to that station at any recent point in time, you will notice what I have noticed, which is every freaking story is through the prism of the social justice warriors. And I mean every story. You can't, everything is, let's take a look at, the historical oppression of blah, 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 as seen through this, tic-tac-toe world champion. Like, for real? Every single story has to be washed through that lens. Berliner published this piece on April 9th. He was then suspended. And then, of course, the conservative media started finding all of these old tweets of the new boss. The boss put out some statement saying, he's what he said was hurtful and disrespectful and all of this. So now he's out. He said, we're looking for a leader right now who's going to be unifying and bring more people into the tent and have a broader perspective on sort of what America is all about. And this seems to be the opposite of that. It is. It absolutely is. Look, highlighting all of the tweets of this woman from the last 6 years, the point is not to get her fired. It's not to get her canceled. It's to get the funding canceled. It's to stop using my tax money to pay for these broadcasts, the opinions of people that I really do believe, want to fundamentally transform America, which is not something you do if you love the country, if you love America. You are not trying to, quote, fundamentally transform. I'm not saying make changes. I'm not saying improve or make reforms or anything like that. I'm saying fundamental transformation. That means something. Words have meaning. And I know I'm kind of old school. I believe words have meaning. I'm such a throwback like that. But I believe that the way you effectively communicate with other people is to have a shared tongue. Like really one large tongue that everybody... No, I'm kidding. But no, you have a shared way to communicate. This way, people do not get confused when you say words because they all know what those words mean and you are effective in your communication, which is one of my problems, by the way, with not just Joe Biden, but also Donald Trump, is that the words they choose, I am told, I have to ignore the words that they have chosen to use to say the things that they say. Words have meaning. There is truth. There are things that are true. There are two sexes, for example. That is true. And no amount of relativistic Hegelian thought processes and struggle sessions are going to make me deny that. 2 + 2 = 4, it's not 5. That's a reference to the documentary 1984. Right. All right, 704-570-1110. Oh, up next, the impeachment whistleblower. Not a new one, not this current impeachment process that they're moving forward with Mayorkas. This was the impeachment of Donald Trump. Do you remember who the whistleblower was in the impeachment of Donald Trump? Not Vindman, the guy who informed Vindman. Do you remember this guy? No, he's like a freaking footnote, but he's at the center of a Real Clear Investigations piece. RealClearInvestigations.com by Paul Sperry. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Got a message here from Russ. Russ says, Pete, you called the NPR CEO's tweets hilarious, and I agree, except she has a level of power and influence. It's one well, this is what NPR said. Like, no, no, she made those comments when she was a private citizen, not the leader of the news organization. It's one thing for a random Moonbat 6 follower account to spout the crazy, but she not only had a platform, she's leading a news agency that benefits from a perception of neutrality and public service. And she's not a one-off. There are so many people who read those tweets and applaud her bravery and insight. Well, okay, so she does not have 6 followers. She has 173, which I think John Moore has more than that. Let me see, actually. Do you know, John?
Not by many.
Do you know how many you've got?
I don't know. It's been a while since I looked. I don't know.
Let's see. Twitter.com.
It's X now, Pete.
Search. It still comes up as Twitter for me. Did you know that?
You got Windows 98 over there.
Big John Radio.
Actually, right? John Moore Show.
Oh, you changed it?
Yeah.
John Moore. Look at that. No, it's just John Moore Show.
Oh, okay.
Dude, you've got 10 times as many followers as her.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good then.
You're following twice as many people as follow her.
Does that mean I win?
Yes, you are. You're better than her.
Yeah.
No, you got 1,257. So, over 1,200 followers. You should follow John Moore Show. You should follow him. He's got a GIF here from The Walking Dead, so it can't be completely unentertaining.
Unless you're a bot, don't follow me. No bots.
No bots.
Yeah, stay away.
If you got pics in your bio, he doesn't. Well, actually, he might want to see them.
Nope.
No, he doesn't want to see them. Okay. I don't understand what's going on all of a sudden with all of that stuff, but yeah, pics in bio. Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Things are getting. Yeah, things are getting crazy. Okay. On Twitter, it's because look, this. All right. I did the interview yesterday with Leah McGee, the mom of the kid who got suspended for saying illegal alien in the classroom during a lesson. Right. During an assignment. And so I did the interview. So a lot of people have been now discussing it, and it's kind of going viral on Twitter. And so now you got all of these leftists who are like coming in saying things like, you just don't understand the full story. You're only getting one side of it. This is, like white privilege they're accusing her of and him, of course, right? Look, you know what? Get to the bottom of it, folks. Anybody else want to start, plumbing the depths of the story and go get the other kid's side? Go get the superintendent's side. Go get the principal and the assistant principal and the school board. State lawmakers are starting to pay attention to it. Casey O'Day this morning up in Raleigh, he had Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson on, and he's now interested in this story and all. But what that means for me personally is, because that's what it's all about, really, is that if you tweet at me, I might not see it because my feed, all of my mentions, my replies and stuff, it's kind of toxic right now. So I might not see it. But if you like swimming in the toxic swamps, come on over. Jump in. The water is, toxic, but it's fine for a little while. It'll then deform you in some ways that will not be evident at first, but will soon manifest themselves to all. Okay. There's a piece at realclearinvestigations.com. The whistleblower who sparked Donald Trump's first impeachment was deeply involved in the political maneuverings behind Biden family business schemes in Ukraine. These are the business dealings that Trump wanted probed. Ew. Newly obtained emails from former Vice President Joe Biden's office reveal in 2019, a fella by the name of Eric Chiaramella. Do you remember this guy? Probably not, because he wrote the big op-ed in one of the papers, and everybody was like, who's anonymous? Who's the anonymous writer? It's this guy. And then it came out, and everybody's like, wait, who are you? Everybody thought it was some high-ranking official. It was Eric Chiaramella. And he was a then National Intelligence Council analyst, And he wrote this op-ed. He anonymously accused Trump of linking military aid for Ukraine to a demand for an investigation into alleged Biden corruption in that country. 4 years earlier, though, while working as a national security analyst attached to then Vice President Joe Biden's office, Cherumello was a close advisor when Biden threatened to cut off U.S. aid to Ukraine unless it fired the top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. So this guy, who was the whistleblower that told Alex Vindman to go blow the whistle, this guy, Eric Cherumello, was part of Biden's team at the time all of that crap went down. At the time, the corruption-riddled energy giant Burisma was paying Hunter Biden millions of dollars. Those payments, along with other evidence tying Joe Biden to his family's business dealings, received little attention in 2019 as Cherumello accused Trump of a corrupt quid pro quo. Neither did subsequent evidence indicating that Hunter Biden's associates had identified Shokin as a key target. These matters are now all part of the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Jonathan Turley is quoted in this Real Clear Investigations piece, quote, "It now seems there was material evidence that would have been used at the impeachment trial to exonerate Donald Trump. Trump was alleging that there was a conflict of interest with the Bidens." Right? That was the point of the perfect phone call with Zelensky. He wanted to get information about what was going on, and the evidence would have challenged Biden's account, and it would have established Hunter's interest in the Shokin firing. Cherumello's role is only now coming to light thanks to a recent release of White House emails and photos from the National Archives. The emails show Cherumello expressed shock. That's what he wrote, yikes, in an email when Biden moved to withhold $1 billion in aid from Kyiv, which represented a sudden shift in U.S. policy. They also show that he was drawn into White House communications over how to control adverse publicity from Hunter taking the lucrative seat on Burisma's board. So you got a national intelligence analyst who's being brought in to do damage control over the apparent conflict of interest and apparent corruption when the Veep's son is on the board of Burisma while you're leveraging $1 billion in aid to Ukraine if they fire the guy Shokin, who was, by the way, seizing assets of the Burisma leader, the CEO. The emails show, I already read that part. There's no evidence that Cherumello raised any alarms about any of the Biden business activities that he witnessed firsthand, which is a bit of a different approach than what he took in 2019, right? In 2019, when Trump was president, he was prompted to act after being told by White House colleague Alexander Vindman of an improper phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. During the call, Trump solicited Zelensky's help in investigating Burisma and Hunter Biden's role in that company. Some former congressional investigators say Cherumello effectively helped cover up a scandal that was far worse than what Trump was impeached over. What's more, he failed to disclose that he had a potential conflict of interest. He worked under CIA Director John Brennan, that's an indictment enough, back when Obama made Biden his point man on Ukraine back in 2014. That is the same year Burisma hired Hunter Biden. I'm sure coincidentally enough, right? The very same year that Biden gets named as the point guy on Ukraine, Hunter Biden gets the seat on Burisma. The next year, the CIA assigned Cherumello, a longtime advocate for aid to Ukraine, they assigned him to the White House, where he worked closely with Biden and Biden's staff as a top advisor on key Ukrainian policies. And then when Biden left office, he stayed on at the Trump White House until mid-2017, even though he's a Democrat, but he was working as a Ukrainian and Russian analyst on Trump's National Security Council. Co-workers there accused him of trying to sabotage Trump, including allegedly leaking sensitive information to the press. No. So what did he do in his capacity? He hosted and cleared into the White House and met face-to-face with senior Ukrainian prosecutors, guys like Viktor Shokin. He hosted them. He got them into the White House to see Joe, got the face-to-face meetings. He also went with Joe to Kyiv during that famous trip when Biden threatened to withhold the funding. He wrote talking points for Ukrainian officials. He corresponded with Biden officials coordinating responses to negative media reports about Hunter's cushy and controversial Burisma job. By the way, this is a very lengthy piece. I'm going over. I've highlighted, well, the highlights. White House visitor logs confirm Chirimella escorted Viktor Shokin's deputy prosecutor, a guy by the name of David Sakvaradzis or something, into the White House for, I'm just going to call him David, but he escorted David into the White House for a meeting January 2016. A White House agenda for the meeting lists Chirimella as a point of contact for the Ukrainian delegation. So this would have been after the 2016 election, where we know that Trump won, unless you're Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, I guess. But he also checked in a fellow by the name of Andrei Telechenko, the Ukrainian embassy official who says they discussed Burisma and they discussed Hunter Biden during that meeting and struggled to understand. This is from the Ukrainian embassy official who struggled to understand why his U.S. counterparts were suddenly hostile to Viktor Shokin after praising him in earlier talks. That's a brain buster. I can't figure it out. Man, I mean, this is a mystery that could only be solved by like everybody but Democrats in the media. But I repeat myself. This Real Clear Investigations piece by Paul Sperry. You can find it at realclearinvestigations.com. Headline, impeachment whistleblower was in the loop of Biden-Ukraine affairs that Trump wanted probed. Though Biden maintains he insisted Kyiv oust Shokin, the prosecutor, right? Biden says he said you guys got to get rid of this guy Shokin because he was too soft on corruption, including Burisma. This guy Eric Chirimella, who was on Biden's staff, who's national intelligence analyst, he suggested he did not share the view that Shokin was corrupt. The day before he hosted the Ukraine prosecutors, Chirimella received an agenda from a State Department official. And on the agenda, it says they're going to call on Chirimella to ask the Ukrainian delegation what high-level cases are on the docket for prosecution. Right? So they set up a meeting, and they're like, yeah, we want you to ask which cases they're working on. That raises suspicions because it could be the Biden folks fishing for information about Shokin's plans for prosecuting Burisma, which is what Hunter Biden had just been asked to find out. If what Chirimella expressed in that email was a genuine reaction when he said, yikes, didn't know that was happening. If that was genuine, it appears that Vice President Biden went against the recommendation of one of his top advisors on Ukraine, this guy Chirimella. If Chirimella were genuinely alarmed, he might have blown the whistle on his boss, you know, like he did on Trump. But he stayed mum. Now, on the other hand, if Chirimella were a party to the quid pro quo discussions, then that would mean he had a direct conflict in the Trump impeachment. Derek Harvey, the former congressional investigator involved in that impeachment, says either way, Chirimella clearly found himself in the middle of a major controversy. But only on one did he, quote, blow the whistle. And it just so happened to align with his politics. I'm sure it's completely coincidental. Biden and his supporters have repeatedly claimed that the prosecutor in Ukraine had to go because he wasn't cracking down on corruption. And everybody else in the administration, as well as Europe, agreed that Shokin should be fired. This remains the prevailing narrative in major U.S. media. But around that same time, Shokin had actually, I've gone over this before for the last like 2 years or so, Shokin did a raid of Burisma oligarch Mykola Zlochevsky's home, seized his houses, seized his cars, seized other assets. Is that the action of a guy who is not fighting corruption? Even if Shokin was corrupt himself, he's still going after this corrupt guy at Burisma. IRS Special Agent Joseph Ziegler, who examined Hunter's emails as part of his investigation of Hunter for tax evasion, said Victor Shokin was identified as a key target in emails exchanged between Hunter Biden and Burisma officials in November 2015, the month before Biden traveled to Ukraine to demand Shokin's removal. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Just days before Biden arrived in Kyiv in early December to demand Shokin's ouster, Hunter allegedly called his father from Dubai following a meeting there with Burisma official Vadim Pozharsky, who had asked Hunter to pressure his father to shut down Shokin's investigation. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. By the way, Vice President Biden was familiar with Pozharsky because he met him in April of 2015 during a dinner at the Cafe Milano in Washington, D.C., that was organized and arranged by Hunter. Guys, I know, like, this looks bad, right? I understand all of this stuff kind of stacks up and you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, this looks really, really bad, right? But there is a logical, rational explanation for all of it. So Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, they're corrupt. Like, that's the answer. Like, that is all of the information lays out here, right? At some point, you have to think they're either the unluckiest first family, second family at the time, in the world ever, right? To have all of these pieces of evidence line up precisely in a way that would lead people to believe they are guilty of corruption or they're corrupt. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.